Jackson alongside Adrian Jackson, and this is Championships Bike Size. Adrian, always good to be alongside you, mate.
We've got some great action to talk about in round two after off the championship and championship one. I think for me, before we go for the results, what a result for London Scholars, but we'll talk about the championship first. Round two, Bradley Bulldogs 8, Keithley Cougars 10, Feverson Rovers 36, Leeds Centurions 60, and Huddersfield Hawks 22, Sheffield Eagles 40, Swinton Lions 16, Junior Rams 34, York City Knights 18, Halifax 24. I suppose you might as well start at Post Office Road, as I like to call it, or the Big Fella Stadium, is that what it's called these days?
So, yes.
And what a result for Featherston Rovers. The Central is hoping to go there and get up and running with a victory against one of the favourites in this division, but Featherston proving that they're far too good and strong for Lee.
That was going to be a tough ask that for the Centurions travelling to Featherston's backyard. It's a place where very few teams have got any change whatsoever out of the last couple of years, to be honest, and so it proved again. Featherston Rovers very strong. First 15 minutes, it was nip and tuck. Lee went in front with a penalty from on loan Ryan Shaw, and at that stage, I don't know, I was sort of wondering why they'd actually gone for a penalty so early in the game. It's like night time and you should be putting a little bit of pressure perhaps on your opposition. It didn't happen. Featherston went down the other end and scored a try through Greg Worthington. Followed it up with a try for Ian Hartman. Then they came thick and fast because Bostock went over just before the half hour mark, and Andy Kane went over the first of two tries 4 minutes from the break. Now, in between that, or I should say at the end of that, Matt Gardner did pull a try back for Lee, but at 24-8 at half time, he virtually jumped done for Featherston.
It's an improved performance from Lee Centurions in the second half, like you said, top done in the first half. I think now Powell will be looking at the second half performance and won't be as happy about that as he was with the first half.
I don't think he'll have been too happy with the discipline on this side. They conceded an 8-1 penalty count in the second half, but despite that, it was a real backs to the wall effort from Featherston that second half with the way they marshalled the defence. They went over after just 3 minutes play, and the game scooting up from dummy half for his second try, and then Rapati kept up this great scoring run that he's got going at the moment with the Featherston Rovers following his post-season move from Widnes Vikings. And although he hit back with a try from Tom Spencer, on one from Matty Russell in the last minute, it was never going to be an orphan. It was disappointing that for Lee, I think.
It was. I was hoping they might have got off to a better start. He put a good performance against Batley and it never came off for them. It might have been a bit closer against Featherston, but Paul Rowley was all learning a lot about his team last week and maybe looking to improve things in the next round of the Championship.
Talking of reaction from that particular game, I caught up with Featherston Rovers star fullback Ian Hartman.
Joined by Ian Hartman, Featherston Rovers, and really good win tonight against Lee Centurions. You were at the back, basically dealing with everything coming your way. How did you see the game going?
Well, I think at the very beginning of the game, Lee were playing very quick on us. I think we were finding it quite difficult, but we seemed to get a grip of it midway through that second half, and then we got ourselves a little bit of a lead. It was unfortunate they scored a late try in the end of the first half, which gave them a start going into the second. But I think second half, we up tempo a bit. I think we played really well. We was on the back end of a lot of penalties against us, and we had to defend for large majority of that second half, and I thought we dug in really well, and so I thought it was a good win in the end.
Probably that early try sort of settled the nerves somewhat in that second half.
Yeah, it gives us a bit of a cushion. I mean, they did reply straight away, more or less, and then we got one again, so it was a bit tit for tat at the beginning of that second half. But then as the game, that half went on, I think we defended really, really well. We had a lot thrown at us by Lee. They got a lot of penalties, as I said, and I think we dug in really well for each other and worked hard.
Now, we're, what, 5-6 games into the new season. How's it been going so far for Featherston Rovers from someone who hasn't always been here?
Well, it's going all right quite well. I mean, obviously, we've qualified for the Northern Rail. We got 3 out of 4, so that's one goal achieved already. We're into the next stage, so we can put that to aside for the time being. 2 from 2 as the league started, so we've got to be happy. I mean, our form hasn't been great so far this season, but I mean, as the season goes, you've got to build those type of things. You've got to build relationships and get yourself going again, so we'll be happy with results. There's a lot to work on in our performance, but we've got a lot of time to put it right, and hopefully we'll have a similar season to last year.
Seemed a much better effort tonight, I would imagine, with regards to the whole spine of the team. I mean, it's been together a couple of years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think in key positions we've had a bit of stability. So we've had Liam Finpoy in there at 7 for a while, and he's a major player for us. He dictates a lot of our play. Obviously Andy Kane, we've got Kyle Briggs come back, so he's not too unfamiliar with our players. So yeah, the players that touch the ball a lot have been here for a few years now. So we do have, as I say, the stability in the team, and obviously we're just working hard for it at the minute.
And the season's going pretty well for you as well. I think it's 8 tries so far.
Yeah, I've been managing to get over it. I mean, a lot of my tries are coming off the back of good work from other players. So I've just, as a fullback, you've just got to sniff around for chances and hopefully take them when you come your way.
Well, best of luck for the rest of the season. I hope to see you again a little bit later on.
Cheers, no problem. Cheers.
Championship title in Hartman, highly rated by Darrell Powell. Lots of people do say he's probably the best fullback stroke centre outside the Super League.
I go along with that, to be honest, Adrian. I think that he certainly is one of the key components of that Featherstone Rovers team. Yes, you can name your Liam Finns and you can name your Andy Cairns, but it needs to be solid at the back, doesn't it? Because if ever that first up defensive line lets you down, you need to be able to rely on the guy who's playing fullback and who's more reliable in the Championship.
He's had, funnily enough, yeah, he's had a lot of experience, hasn't he, from his days in the Super League with St. Helens, Hawkinson Rovers, and he obviously had a stint with Widnes in the Championship, and Featherstone, it's them who are benefiting from it over the last two seasons, and now in 2012.
Yeah, the standout result as far as the Championship was concerned was Keith Lagugas going over to Batley and beating him 10 points to 8. Now, this was a real struggle of a game, wasn't it? But it looked so easy for Batley in the first couple of minutes. When Gareth Moore went over for a try, just 2 minutes on the board, he also kicked 2 goals as well, didn't Moore, so it was a good performance from him. But Keith Lagugas, the tough to beat, aren't they, with Jason Dimitriou in charge?
I think this game gave John Kerr a good insight of what to expect in the Championship, because everything's been going lovely for him in the North American Cup. He had a good win against the Centurions, they've been backing themselves to win against Keighley at home on that hill, but Keighley the ability to stir the stuff in 2012, they've come up with a very, very good win.
Jarrell Coleman and James Haythornthwaite, the try scorers there. What a great name that is, Haythornthwaite.
That's a typical Yorkshire name you've ever heard of.
Tell you what, he's not a typical fullback, though, a real strike player. I'm expecting big things of Haythornthwaite this year. I know he's been sort of in and out of the side for much of the last two seasons. He had a good run at it last year, good utility value, and well, I suppose after a performance like that, Jason Dimitriou must be cock-a-hoo.
Bouncing back to win away, don't they? Their preparation must have been spot on to bounce back from defeat in round one to go to there. We no one expected them to get the win and to come up with the 3 points.
Now, John Kerr, he accused his side of falling in love with himself. What do you go with that?
Is that what was John Kerr falling in love with himself?
Not John Kerr falling in love with himself. He said that his team had fallen in love with itself with how they've been going over the course of the season so far. Would you go along with that?
I think the performance obviously suggests that a team who's confident within their ability, unfortunately, got caught short on Sunday.
Game of two halves over at Hunslet. Sheffield Eagles, they built a 36-4 half time advantage over Hunslet. But the Hawks, they're very stern stuff this year. They fought back admirably in the second half.
Great comeback, like you said, all damage was done in that first half. Eagles totally dominant at 36-4, but whatever was in that half time, Jason Rimmer Hunslet needs a bottle and use it for the rest of the season.
Ben Morrison, he's just stepped down from Super League Academy Rugby over at Hull. He's certainly making his mark felt at Sheffield. 2 tries from him at the other end of the scale. They've got Andrew Henderson, still running in the tries at the ripe old age of 33.
Yeah, he's got a few years left in him yet, as Andrew Henderson's a real class out for the Eagles, and he generates the passion within their game.
Disappointing as far as Twente Lions are concerned. They've got 2 fairly heavy defeats now. And like Sheffield, JP Ramsden did the damage in the first half, and they established a 26-10 half-time advantage.
Yeah, my tip to be clip finishing in the playoffs doesn't look good at all, does it? Swings and Lions get off to a nervous start in 2012 in the Championship. Really struggling to adapt to life in a higher league, aren't they? And I think the Lions would have expected to have been, if not won the game, they'd have been a lot closer before come the final score.
Now, Pat Walker, he's a key player for the Dewsbury Rams, who were hit earlier that week with the shock retirement of Nick Fosard. Now, when you've put so much into getting a player like Fosard on board, to lose him so early in the season is a huge blow, isn't it?
Obviously, it's a big blow because they've built the pack around them, haven't they? But so they've had to scrap that plan with what they might have used for Fosard and come up with another idea, and it worked on Sunday.
In the other game, it took Halifax until the 80th minute to finally shake off York City Knights, and it was that man, Sean Penkovic, who was able to score the try. He's such a key component to everything that Fax do, isn't it?
He is. He's a key player to any team within the Championship, and it's for Halifax's benefit. But Chris Foreman, he'd be happy with the performance from York. Unfortunately, he just couldn't get the win.
Someone I think deserved to draw. I mean, it was a draw right up until the 79th minute, but Halifax, they just got that knack of scoring in the last play of games. They did it twice this season already. The other time was down at London Scholars in the Northwest Cup.
It's been a steady start for Halifax, hasn't it? It's not spectacular, but steady.
Let's now look at the Cooperative Championship 1. It was round 2, and here are the results. Barrow Raiders 25, Doncaster 8, London Scholars 66, North Wales Crusaders 16, Oldham 40, Gateshead 14, South Wales Scorpions 10, Workington Town 40, and Whitehaven 30, Rochdale Hornets 10, and your pick as top game. Well, he did top the billing because Barrow Raiders, brilliant performance there from Darren Holt, he rolled the clock back and they managed to beat Doncaster.
Yeah, this is the game of the weekend, last time out in the Championship by size, but the standout result for me is going to be London Scholars versus North Wales Crusaders. No one expected that.
No, and it was a great day for Dylan Ski as well. The Scholars halfback scored 2 tries, kicked 9 goals for a club record, 26 points. Now, my maths ain't great, but he's virtually beaten North Wales Crusaders on his own there, hasn't he?
I think that's probably the best score my Scholars have put up since they've been in the professional game. They were 40-0 up at half-time. Don't forget, this is against the Crusaders team that pushed Barrow all the way in round 1. So if that's such a hefty scoreline in your favour at the half-time, but it suggests that the Scholars were on fire and Joe McBoo must be rightly proud of the effort.
In total, the Scholars scored so many tries, it's unbelievable. As Adrian mentioned, 40 points to nil at half time, and they still went on and completed the job in the second half. And although Joe McBoone saw his side concede 3 tries, he's got to be made up by that performance. For North Perth Crusaders, it's back to the drawing board for them, isn't it?
Mentioned the try score, there was 12 scored, no hat trick heroes for the Scholars, but it'd been a good party in the community social club by the end of that one.
The Crusaders, 2 tries from Danny Hume, and his reputation is just going to grow and grow. I think he's very unlucky not to be playing Super League with Witness, to be honest.
Mentioned Barrow versus Doncaster has been the pick of the games in the last podcast, and then Barrow Raiders really getting off to a good start, aren't they?
They have, yeah. They've had 2 very tough games, haven't they, as an opening to Championship 1. And like you mentioned, Darren Holt rolling the clock back. Try, drop goal, with 4 goals as well. Great performance from him. Moving on to Oldham. Now, Oldham are also unbeaten so far. They played 2-1-2. They had to put in a solid performance against Gateshead Thunder. And I noticed Paul Ballard scoring a couple of tries there as well.
Yeah, Paul Ballard has got a good reputation for scoring tries in this level of rugby league, and that's going to benefit Oldham this season.
Certainly, it's Miles Greenwood also getting on the scoreboard a couple of times in that game. Gateshead Thunder, they had it all to do in the second half. They were trailing 22 points to nil at half time. I just get the feeling that Oldham would have come down that big slope that they got in their advantage in that first half, but it's a great result for them. And another great result for Workington. I mean, going down to South Wales Scorpions, this was a real anti-social kick-off time, if you like. 1 o'clock in an afternoon, when you're travelling from Cumbria, that's got to have been an early start for those lads.
Matt suggested in the doing 28 against the South Wales, you might have said Workington town, the bodies were still on the coach, but it was Workington who got off to the best start in that game.
I wonder if they'll be asking if they can travel there to half six before every game. I don't know. But he certainly worked some magic though, didn't he? And great performance from Patrick. He's got a couple of tries. And Carl Farber kicking 4 goals. I'm sure he won't be happy with that particular return. For the Scorpions, however, it almost looks like maybe Rooney was playing.
Well, he got the points, but I'm sure the other boys will be looking to put in a good performance and get the victory for the South Wales Scorpions. But unfortunately, he ran into a Workington town that were in no mood to even give them a bonus point, and that was the same for Whitehaven against Rochdale.
I actually tipped this one as my pick of last week's games in Championship 1. Whitehaven, they were far too strong. At half time, this one was living up to the billing, though, wasn't it? Whitehaven had scored tries through Bower and Calvert, with Middlehurst replying for Rochdale Hornets. 12-6, it's anybody's game, but in that second half, Whitehaven really did show the mettle. Calvert scoring a second try, and then McAvoy going over for a couple of scores as well. All Rochdale had in response was a try from former Wickes player Dale Bloomfield, and John Stankovic would have been disappointed with that, but I bet that Whitehaven lot were very, very happy. Okay, now it's time for us to look towards the forthcoming fixtures, and we might as well call this section Challenge Cup Bikeside.
Yeah, you're quite right, Dave. There is Challenge Cup Bikeside. No championship games this weekend, due to the fact that it is the Challenge Cup third round. It's at the stage of the competition where the Anderson Rovers, Maidstone Warriors versus Halifax, Swinton Lions versus Sydney, Whitehaven versus Hornsville Warriors, Workington Town versus Bradley Bulldogs, and York City versus Hull Dockers, and finally Egremont Rangers versus Oldham.
So extended cup ties there, I tell you. The one I'm looking forward to is that was the class really at the four professional sides which were put in the draw together. And well, certainly first of all, Scholes will be fancying the chances against over in the Lake Centurions, won't they?
He will, because they'll be obviously buoyed by the fact that they've had great results against South Wales Crusaders.
I think someone was looking fortunately on the Cumbrian side because all five of them have drawn at home. Workington against Bartley for me is to pick up all those ties in that third round.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking game, and John Kerr's got a lot of history as a coach within the Challenge Cup for Workington Town to be taking on his team. That's a real big game for them to raise up to the challenge and maybe cause a bit of an upset.
Talking of upsets, any potential upsets amongst the amateur teams that you can see?
No.
None at all. Egremont Rangers taking on Oldham over there at Whitehaven. Surely Oldham's not going to fancy travelling up there on a Friday night. Also, what about Siddle going to Swinton? Could be a close on that one.
No, I totally disagree. I can't see any amateurs causing any upset at this stage in the competition. I think the professional game has moved on a step further in terms of preparation and the speed of the game for what the amateurs are able to deal with.
Well, even Bradford Dudley Hill, take your Keith McCougars, Dave Halley, former Bradford fullback in full flight. Does that not whet your appetite for an upset there?
No.
I'm still not doing it. No, it's not working, this, folks. I'm trying to talk him round, but he just won't be talked round. Looking at a couple of these other fixtures, though, how do you think the French sides will go? It's an interesting time for Lesignan in particular, travelling up the Barrow.
It's a good challenge for Lesignan. They've had not much success in the Challenge Cup since they've been taking part in it, but they'll be fancying the chances of maybe getting a result against Barrow. But Barrow, I mean, will prove to be too strong. I think the best chance for an upset for one of the French teams is going to come from Toulouse against our first Crusaders.
Would that be an upset, though? I mean, Toulouse flying high in their championship. I think they're fourth at the moment, with just a couple of games remaining. Although, to be fair, because of Toulouse's involvement in the Northern Rail Cup and the Challenge Cup, they've got four games still to play, so they'll certainly have a say as far as the French Championship goes. But North Wales Crusaders, they'll be smarting after such a heavy defeat. They'll do well to contain that big pack of Toulouse's one.
They'll be looking to make home advantage plans as well. They'll be hoping to lose on a horrible trip over to North Wales. One game that we haven't told you about yet, because it's not been confirmed, and on the date, the kick-off time of the venue, is Warwick Brawlhawks versus South Wales Scorpions.
I wonder where they're going to play that one, then. If anybody's guessed, that could be coming to a park near you somewhere in Cumbria. Let us know when you find out, and we'll certainly give it a plug next week anyway, won't we? But that could be a bit of a tricky tie for South Wales Scorpions, couldn't it? He's still not convinced, he's tricky, he's idiot, folks. Well, that's the Challenge Cup, and for another week, that's bite size.